Hi, this is Brian. Welcome to today's Philosopher's Notes podcast. Get tantric, burn the ships, and get rich. So this is a big idea from Napoleon Hill's classic, Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill says, quote, "A long while ago, a great warrior faced a situation which made it necessary for him to make a decision which ensured his success on the battlefield. He was about to send his armies against a powerful foe, whose men outnumbered his own. He loaded his soldiers into boats, sailed to the enemy's country, unloaded soldiers and equipment, then gave the order to burn the ships that had carried them. Addressing the men before the first battle, he said, 'You see the boats going up in smoke? That means that we cannot leave these shores unless we win. We now have no choice. We win or we perish.' They won. Every person who wins in any undertaking must be willing to burn his ships and cut all sources of retreat. Only by so doing can one be sure of maintaining that state of mind known as a burning desire to win, essential to success." End quote. Again, that's Napoleon Hill from Think and Grow Rich. It's amazing. I love that. It puts things in perspective, huh? Now, of course, you may be thinking to yourself, that's a little extreme. And, well, yeah, you'd be right. It is extreme. That's the whole point. Weak desire will get weak results. Intense desire will get intense results. Of course, in the process of learning to manage that kind of intense flame of desire, we often burn ourselves up and out, and we burn up those around us. That's part of the deal. And when that happens, and it will, you have two choices. You can read the Gita, learn to meditate, renounce all your desires, and strive to be like your guru who's dead from the neck down and just kind of smiles and bobs his head. Or you can learn to manage the intensity. And of course, while managing your intense desires, you can, I would recommend, still meditate, read the Gita and all that. But then we learn to make a distinction between no desires and attachment to desires. But that's for another discussion. For now, Ken Wilber and John Elliott come to mind for me. First, John Elliott. He's a leading expert on overachievement who wrote a great book by the same name. You can see the philosopher's notes on it. He's also the descendant of a bunch of Harvard presidents and the great T.S. Eliot, who said, "Only those who risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go." So in his great book, John Elliott likens the idea of trying to turn your desire or stress down to a race car driver swapping out his V12 engine for a V4 because it, quote, rides smoother. Well, sure, it rides smoother, but it definitely isn't going to win any races. Of course, if your ultimate goal is to serenely watch life pass by, then a V4, or just not driving at all really, would be a good bet. If, however, your ultimate goal is full and complete expression of your divine gifts in the greatest service of the world, then keep the V12. Just learn how to handle it. All right, now Ken Wilber. He has a phenomenal passage in One Taste where he's addressing the same issue from the perspective of transcending one's ego. He makes the super important distinction that as we transcend our egos, we need to make sure we don't exclude them. We need to go beyond a merely egoic sense of self, but not get rid of the individualized expression of God that makes us who we are. Wilber talks about the fact that the great sages we admire were intense. Imagine Jesus walking into a temple with a bullwhip. It gives me goosebumps. And then tell me that he wasn't an intense dude. So Ken Wilber offers this in his remarkable prose. He says, quote, "The great yogis, saints, and sages accomplished so much precisely because they were not timid little toadies, but great big egos plugged into the dynamic ground and goal of the cosmos itself, plugged into their own higher self. They opened their mouths and the world trembled, fell to its knees and confronted its radiant God." There is certainly a type of truth to the notion of transcending ego. It doesn't mean destroy the ego. It means plug it into something bigger. Put bluntly, the ego is not an obstruction to spirit, but a radiant manifestation of spirit. The integral sage, the non-dual sage, is here to show us otherwise. Known generally as tantric, these sages insist on transcending life by living it. They insist on finding release by engagement, finding nirvana in the midst of samsara, finding total liberation by complete immersion. It's one of my favorite passages in any literature. It's from Ken Wilber's One Taste, dated November 17th. So you want to get rich? Burn your ships, plug into source, and shine.